So Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 onwards. I find it helpful just to have a Bible in front of you as we reflect on this passage this morning. We've been tracing our way through Galatians for the last, I was going to say a few weeks. We started in September, and with one thing and another, we're just on chapter 3, as we've got here, and we'll be carrying on through Galatians until Easter. And what we've discovered as we've reflected, as we've thought, as we've studied Galatians, is that the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia concerned about mission. He is concerned about the sharing of the gospel concerning Jesus Christ with all the nations, understanding that the gospel concerning Jesus Christ is not something just for one particular nation, one particular people group, the Jews, but it is in fact for all peoples. And he is concerned that all the peoples of the world might be able to freely hear and respond to this good news about Jesus, unencumbered by all the things that we discover in this letter. Certain Jews want to attach to the gospel. He doesn't want other nations to have to be obedient to the law. He doesn't want them to have to be circumcised. He doesn't want those who respond to the gospel in other nations in the world to have to follow other Jewish traditions. He wants them to be free. And so all the way through this letter, he's arguing this point and encouraging people to see that the gospel concerning Jesus has been given freely and should be shared freely also. So Galatians chapter 3, reading from verse 15. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture doesn't say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And we thank God for his words. And I recognize that often when we read the Bible, there are passages that we scratch our head over and think, now what on earth was that about? Can I take a second look? Let's reflect on it and see what is it that God would say to us today. And hopefully I will be helpful in that process of unpacking something of this passage. Been looking at Galatians under this title of transformation, the belief that when people hear the gospel concerning Jesus Christ and respond to it, they are transformed. Their lives are turned upside down. And today, thinking particularly about faith and promise. And this is where we begin. We are called to put our trust in Jesus. And I say this is where we begin. It's actually where I'm going to end as well. So that's a good sign. I'm telling you where we're going. This is where the passage that we've just read is heading. We are called to put our trust in Jesus. That's what Paul is concerned about. He is concerned that Jews put their trust in Jesus. He is concerned that non-Jews put their trust in Jesus. He is concerned that everybody has the opportunity to respond to the gospel and put their trust in Jesus. So this is where this particular passage is headed. And I've got three words to begin. Promise, grace, and faith. Promise, grace, and faith. And we'll take each one in turn. Beginning with promise. What we're aware of from this passage is that God gave a promise to Abraham. A promise that we have reflected on before as we've looked through Galatians. A promise that was given to Abraham. Abraham, I will bless you. And the blessing that I give you will not just be for you, but it will be a blessing for all the nations. I will bless you, and through you, I will bless all the nations of the world. And this is the promise that Jews have grown up with. They have been aware that God has blessed them. He has graciously blessed them. But where things have perhaps become a bit stuck is that Jews have not fully understood that this blessing, this promise of blessing, should be given freely away to other nations. But instead, people have been called to Judaism. They've been called to become Jews, to take on all the things that make somebody a Jew. And Paul wants to say, no, God has given this promise, promise given to Abraham, to bless all the nations, and we must be part of giving it away. Now, understanding what this promise is about is very simple. This promise relates to, the answer is always, Jesus. This promise relates to Jesus. And in this passage, Paul makes it clear that this promise does relate to Jesus. It's about the seed, he says, referring to Jesus. How do we connect with this promise? It is about fixing our eyes and our attention on Jesus. But then I've put up this word, grace. Because not only is there a promise that is given to Abraham to be shared out with all the nations of the world, not only is this promise about Jesus and it finds its home in Jesus, but it's a promise that is given by grace. So that means the promise is given. There is nothing I can do to come somehow wheedle my way into the promise. There is nothing I can do to earn the promise. There is nothing I can do whereby I can say to God, well, God, do you know what? You promised this and I have done this and this and this. Therefore, you must. If any of us, many of us have had families, you know what it's like. You promise, okay, you can't have a cake unless whatever it is, you clean your room. Child goes off to their room. 2 minutes later, they're back. I've done it. Can I have my cake? And we earn the promise. We earn the blessing associated with the promise. And that's what we're used to. We're often experience promises in that way. That if we do certain things, then we will achieve whatever blessing it is, whether it's a cake or a gift or a holiday, whatever it is, we achieve the promise, the blessing associated with the promise by doing certain things. But Paul says, no, this is the thing that God has graciously, freely given this blessing. It can't be earned. It is freely given to everybody. So that we can't say, well, I'm better than you, I'm better equipped, I'm more intelligent, I'm more skilled, more educated, I earn more, or anything, and therefore I deserve it more. It is a gift of grace. And when we talk about promise, we must talk about Jesus. When we talk about grace, who must we talk about? Have a guess. Yeah. The answer is Jesus. And we find that grace epitomized in Jesus. The abundant generosity of God finds its place in Jesus. The third word here is faith. How do we enter into the promise? If we cannot earn the blessing, if there is nothing that you and I can do to say to God, well, I have done this and this and this. I've been to church. I've been baptized. I've become a member of the church. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've given. I've done all of the things I thought I should do. But I can't earn the blessing. Now, for many Jews, of course, they would turn to what we know as Exodus 20 and say, look, God, here is the law. I've obeyed the law. Maybe some of them would have it up and say, well, here's the tick list. I have done it. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way, all 10 parts of the law. And then all the other interpretations of the law that were included in it. I've done it all. Surely I can be included in the promise. Surely I can be included in the things of God because I have done all of these things. How do I get access to the promise? How do I get access to the blessing of God? And Paul is very clear. It is only by faith. It is only by faith. But not as we, as folks sometimes talk about, are you a person of faith? As long as you've got faith, you can achieve anything you want in life, some people say. And I would say, absolute nonsense. The Christian faith is not built on kind of a wild kind of faith somehow. It is faith in a person, and it is faith, guess this, yeah, it's in Jesus, you know? And I put that up again because I want us, when we go away, at the end, remember, this is all about Jesus. The promise is about Jesus. The gift of grace is seen in Jesus. And it is our having faith in Jesus that means we can access the promise. Now, this faith is not just believing in a very loose kind of way. I was reading just the other day, somebody saying, it happened to be a comedian, but he was saying, I have lots of beliefs. I like beliefs. I don't believe any of them, but I have them. And I thought, what an interesting insight. Lots of people have lots of beliefs. They may not believe any of them, but they have them. And when Paul talks about having faith, it's about saying, okay, I'm going to rid myself of everything I don't need for this journey. I'm going to take it all off. And then I'm going to step, as it were, onto Jesus or into Jesus. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for my journey. Everything I thought I needed, I'm going to let go. But I'm going to trust you. And that is what faith is. It is trust. It is depending on Jesus and saying, look, Jesus, if you let me down, I have nothing. If you don't come through on this, I won't get anywhere because I have no backup. I have no plan B. This is it. And so in this passage, what we have is the promise. We have grace and we have the call to have faith in Jesus. But it's also clear that this promise is for all nations. It's not just for one small group of people. It's not for one privileged group of people. But it is for all nations, all the world. There is this opportunity to respond to God. But what about the law? Because this passage talked about the law. And in verse 19, it says, what then was the purpose of the law? And if you can't read Galatians without tripping up over the law. What about the law? Again, three words. Law, teacher, and sin. First thing about the law we need to understand is that the law was given for Jews. The law was given for Jews. It was not given for anybody else. It was given for Jews. And Paul makes clear in this passage, he mentions, doesn't he, 430 years later. Well, the promise was given to Abraham. 430 years later with Moses, the law was given to Moses, the Jews. And Paul is saying, look, the law was just given to this small group of people. It's not for the rest of the world. It's not for anybody else. We don't need to encumber anybody else with the law. That's for you. So we need to understand the law was just for the Jews. He then says that the law was like a teacher. Another word that's used in this passage is a guardian. The law was like a guardian or a guide. Having received the promise, came through Abraham for his people, for all the world, God then gave the law as a guide to help us, to train us. And we know with our children, it's so important that we train our children. And I don't know, but maybe you're like me and you get concerned when you hear, I hear parents saying, I don't discipline my child. I want them to find their own way. Have you heard that? You know, I don't tell them what to believe. I want them to find out for themselves. And every time I hear this, I think, well, utter nonsense. You know, if you don't tell them, if we don't tell them what we believe and what they can believe, somebody else will. If you don't, and I don't train our children in a good way to live, guess what? Somebody else will teach them how to live. And it may not be a very good way to live. And we have such an immense responsibility to train our children and to be trained ourselves. And the Paul says the law was given as a trainer, as a teacher, as a guardian, as a guide to the people of God. So by following the law, they would learn how to live. And they would learn how to live well. And other people, other nations would see how well they live. And other nations will say, well, tell us how we can respond to the blessing that you so evidently have. So the law was given just for the Jews. It was given as a teacher, a trainer, a guardian, or a guide. But then he says this, it was added in verse 19. What was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions. One of the difficult things about having rules, isn't it? They're the saying, rules were made to be broken, you know? And whether we intend it or not, that's what happens. If there wasn't a speed limit on the road, we'd never break the speed limit. But because there is, we find out we're not as careful as we should be. And whenever a law is given, whenever a rule is put up, what it teaches us is that we're sinners, that we fail, that we break the law. And this is what the law did. It taught us that we are sinners. And that's a devastating thing. If we have put our hope in the law, if we put our hope in a list of rules and think, well, if I do these, then I'll be okay. And all we've discovered is that we keep breaking the rules. And we get depressed because we keep breaking the rules. And we get depressed because we never think we're good enough for God, because we keep getting it wrong. That is a devastating thing. But what was the purpose of the law? It was to teach us and train us that we are sinners. Why would it do that? It would do that to say to us, you can't do it by yourself. You cannot enter into the promise by just following all these rules. You cannot enter into the things of God unless you receive by faith. Sin reminded us that we need a Savior, someone who will save us from ourselves, someone who will save us from the devastating consequences of sin. As we reflected last week, the wages of sin is death. And that's where sin leads us. Do you know, sometimes, certainly when I was growing up, people used to talk about the devastation that sin wreaks, that sin is creeping around, wanting to trip you up. And that may be true. But in my experience, I'm not sure that sin does much. All it has to do is stand back. And if there is no one guiding us, if we do not have a Savior who will put us on the right routes, then sin just stands back and watches us. As we live our lives, whether it's good or bad, sin knows that our destiny is death. The wages of sin is death, and there's nothing you or I can do about that. And you would have thought that we'd learn that we can't save ourselves, that we will die, and we need a Savior, someone who will save us, someone who will save us from that destiny of death. And this is where, of course, I'll put down Jesus again, because this is where we began. This is where we end up again. There was the law that was given. Yes, it was just for the Jews, but it was a guide, a teacher, a trainer. And what it trained us in, what it trained the Jews in, continues to teach us, is that we're sinners. We get it wrong, and therefore we need a Savior to deliver us from the consequences of all our sin. And that Savior is Jesus. And so we come all the way back again to the beginning. This is where we started. We are called to put our trust in Jesus. That's what this passage is about. We are called to put our trust in Jesus. We talked about the promise that has been given. We talked about the fact it's been given by grace. We cannot earn it, but somehow we have to access it. Somehow we have to find our way into the promises and the blessing of God. And we can only do that by faith, by shedding ourselves of everything that would hold us back, the sin that clings so easily, and stepping into Jesus and onto Jesus and trusting him absolutely with our lives. And so at every point we have Jesus, whether it's referring to the promise or grace or faith, it's all about Jesus. And that's where we began. That's where we end up. It is all about Jesus, focusing our hearts and our lives, our past, our present, and our future upon Jesus. This promise is for all nations, but the point really is Jesus is for all nations. And when we reflect on mission, when we reflect on what do we do in terms of mission, our focus has to be the simplicity and the clarity of teaching people about Jesus. May we this morning receive in a fresh way God's grace and a focus upon the Lord Jesus. Let's pause and pray. And just in this few moments of quietness, let's make our response. Let's focus upon Jesus. Scripture encourages us, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your thoughts upon Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to know that you are with us today. Lord Jesus, we want to know that when we go to work tomorrow, when we go and do the things that we'll be doing tomorrow, that you'll be with us. And you will guide us, and we will work as for you. We want to know that what we do is of value to you, that you see us where we are, that you see what we do. And we work for you. Lord Jesus, may the focus of our lives each day, each week, during the day and at night, our relationships, our friendships, our activities, everything we do, may our focus be upon Jesus. Help us we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. And make this real for us, we pray.